Greetings, everyone. Let's pray. Dear Lord, open our eyes that we may see wonderful things in your word today. Now, I've given permission to some of you to go to sleep during the sermon because some of you got up very early this morning at 6:30 to go to the dawn service. But actually, the real reason is because those unfortunate people get to hear the same sermon twice, and it doesn't get better by being repeated. Anyway, well, how do we decide what is true? How do we decide who to believe in? We all believe in something or someone. But is what we believe in sufficient to base our life on? Perhaps even something beyond this life. I worked as a lawyer for 2 decades, and working out who to believe in court can be difficult. Weighing up the evidence of witnesses, just who is telling the truth? A court should not convict if there is a reasonable doubt. Solid evidence is needed by reliable witnesses. Now, good evidence leads to belief. Consider a murder. If someone died and I could bring witnesses who had seen the victim being threatened with a knife, and I could then present the bloodied knife with the fingerprints, that would be fairly convincing evidence, wouldn't it, that the accused had done the murder. You would believe that he was guilty. Well, in today's report, we have a string of witnesses, honest women and men who gave evidence. Evidence of what they had seen, what they'd heard, what they'd touched with their hands. This is direct evidence. It's not hearsay, it's not circumstantial, it's the best sort of evidence. Evidence of what they themselves had seen and heard. The report we've just heard was written by one of those witnesses. He was there. He saw it all. Now, several explanations have been given to explain away the resurrection. Let's look at them briefly. The first theory: the body was stolen by grave robbers. This was a problem in those days, so much so that Emperor Claudius published an edict declaring death for grave robbers. So even assuming that robbers would risk running that penalty, they must have been in a great hurry. It would have taken several strong men to break the seal and move that very heavy stone covering the tomb. They wouldn't have bothered to unwrap the corpse. In fact, it was the grave clothes and the spices that they wanted. They were of value. The body itself had no value. And yet it was the grave clothes that were left behind. In fact, they were left intact like an empty chrysalis after the butterfly has flown. Like a body that had simply passed through the wrappings as Jesus was later to pass through a locked door. And the head wrapping was neatly folded away on its own. Did you notice that? Now, for those who've had the misfortune to have been robbed, you know the robbers leave the place in a great mess, don't they? Well, this tomb was very orderly. It was no grave robbery. Well, next theory. Did the rulers steal the body? Jesus predicted many times that he would be crucified and rise in 3 days. His enemies knew that. So what better way to quash any rumours of a resurrection than to take the body, stash it away, and then bring it out if those rumours started surfacing? In the days and months after the resurrection, when the news was right across Jerusalem, all across Israel, Jesus had risen, those rulers would have given anything to have been able to produce the corpse. They didn't. They couldn't. There was no corpse because Jesus was alive. Well, were the followers, the disciples, simply hallucinating? Had they seen a ghost? On many occasions, over several weeks, there were numerous encounters with Jesus by those who knew him, those who had been with him for many years. Mary, John and Peter, the other followers, Doubt and Thomas. They were some of those who saw him, spoke with him, touched him. They even ate with him. On one occasion, there were 500 people who saw him. Now, these included sober men, fishermen, businessmen. You don't embrace the feet of a ghost. You don't eat with a hallucination. They encountered Jesus as a living, breathing person. And yet, his resurrection body was somehow different. As you might expect, if you happened to meet someone who was now immortal, he was the same, but he was different. Well, was it a case simply of a body reviving? No, this was not a case of someone who'd fainted and then resuscitated. The bodies, the Romans, put paid to that. They were experts in killing people. They knew how to do it properly. Jesus had been flogged to the point of death. He had great spikes thrust into his hands and his feet. Hanging on the cross, he was slowly suffocated as with each breath he had to push up on those spikes just to breathe. The spear through his side, possibly piercing his heart, produced a flow of water and blood. Now, I take it this is sound medical evidence that the blood had stopped circulating. It was already separating and decomposing. And then he spent three days in a tomb with a massive stone over it. And yet here he now was strong, alive and in control. Well, is this report simply a fiction, a myth, made up? It certainly was no fiction. Consider the encounter with Mary. This is not what an ancient writer would invent. For a start, you don't put a woman as your first witness. Unfortunately, the evidence of women could not be used in court. It was worthless. That in itself is evidence that this report is true. Also, consider how Mary turned from abject grief. She couldn't recognize Jesus through her tears. She was in total despair because Jesus was dead. She was not looking for a risen body, but for a corpse. And yet one word changed her life forever. One word. That word was her own name, Mary. In an instant, she recognized him. Rabboni, my own dear teacher. Again, can you imagine a male Jewish writer inventing this? This touching, deeply personal account of Mary's encounter with Jesus. And isn't it so like Jesus, the response? We are surely reading eyewitness reporting here. This report, and indeed John's whole account, has that ring of truth about it. Now, atheists and doubters have another huge problem, and that problem is the church. The very fact that there is a church. Immediately after Easter Day, the news spread like wildfire. Jesus is risen from the dead. Jesus' followers have been hiding behind a locked door for fear of the Jews. And no wonder, they've just seen their master flogged and crucified. Their necks were next. And yet they were now convinced that Jesus had conquered death. Their conviction banished their fear. The gut-wrenching fear and despair vanished like the morning mist. So now these followers proclaimed, Jesus is risen, even as the rulers kept arresting them and executing them, even crucifying them. The more followers they executed, the more they claimed Jesus is risen. People don't get crucified for a myth. And it still happens today. Those Libyan Christians beheaded on the beach by ISIS as they sang hymns to Jesus rather than deny him. So logically, there is only one conclusion from the evidence of these honest witnesses, that what they heard and saw and touched was Jesus Christ himself, risen from the dead. Faith is no leap in the dark. Rather, it is based on solid evidence. Our problem as humans is not lack of evidence. It is our unwillingness to believe the evidence. If you don't believe, is it because you are so stubborn, so blind that you won't accept the evidence, or won't even look at it? Our belief is not in an abstract theory, but in a person, Jesus Christ. We believe this man is the Son of God. Thomas went from total disbelief to declaring him my Lord and my God. So Jesus is our God who lives today, our God who defeated death, our God who created us and gave us life, our God who gives the gift of eternal life to whoever believes in him. Jesus said to Thomas, put my finger here and see my hands. Put your hand in my side. Stop doubting and believe. If you have not taken this step, then I call on you to believe in Jesus Christ. Believe in Jesus and his gift of eternal life. Stop doubting and believe. Will you pray this prayer with me? Jesus Christ, Son of God, you died for me. You died to give me life. You rose and conquered death forever. Forgive me and accept me as your own. Amen. Now what next? Read the Bible. Start with the Gospels, those accounts, those four accounts of Jesus' life, death and resurrection. And connect with Christians, connect with churches who believe that it is true.